And we're calling this teaching a faithful steward. A faithful steward. The wonderful thing about when God created man, he created him not only to walk in fellowship and covenant with Almighty God, but also to work with him and to look after that which God had created and made for him. A perfect match, a perfect union. A union without doubt, unbelief, questioning, whatever. It was all of God communicating, working in and through Adam as he learnt about Almighty God. We will never fully understand that relationship that was there when God created Adam and Eve. But they were not created just to stand around, sit around and do nothing. They were also created in the likeness of God, in which to work. And I want us to turn to something familiar we know, just to really kick off in this teaching, in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 to 28. And here, hopefully, you will understand the mind of God with regard to us being faithful stewards. Genesis chapter 1, and we take it up from verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and everything that creepeth, things that creeps on the earth." So we notice that God says that they are to have dominion, they are to work, they are to control all that is on the earth. Now, the earth was different to what it is today. So we can only assume that there was an area of land, a mass of land, that God had created, spoke into being, that Adam and Eve were to have dominion over, which means that they were to procreate, to have children who would likewise be tilling the ground, looking after the animals, having dominion. It was to grow, it was to be fruitful. That was the aim of God. He's created within Adam to be also a steward, to look after what he has created. And it goes on. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God again is repeating himself from verse 26. This is often how Hebrew teaches you. That's the wonderful thing about the Hebrew language. It will start and lay out the idea or what is intended. And then as you read on, it will then elaborate and open up more on what has been said. That's the process of understanding and learning. That's how we do it in teaching of today. Teachers should use that process where you lay a foundation and then you begin to build upon it. those building blocks. Here God is doing exactly the same, because he's raising a very important point here. And God said, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. So he's elaborating more, showing more how that they are fruitful, how they will multiply themselves. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food. It was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day, and after that he rest. Here we see God has raised through Adam to be a faithful steward. You see, stewardship isn't just about money, my needs, what I want. Stewardship is also about being outward looking, looking at what God has made and created. And we don't have to look very far when we can look out of our windows, or when we go out of our doors, or get into our cars, or go for a walk, or whatever it would be, we can see God's handiwork, what he has created. So we see humanity's stewardship is important. But there's one problem today. It's marked by failure. Why? Because Adam, Eve sinned. They disobeyed God. And so we find that sin has distorted our ability and care for what God has entrusted us with. We've lost the revelation. We've lost the idea. We've lost union, fellowship with God, working together in our stewardship. And that, of course, is why we have the world like it is today, sadly falling away further and further from the standard that God intended. But the good news of the gospel is that not only have we been saved in Jesus Christ, but also we have been saved through him to fellowship and walk with him, the second Adam. You can see the fall of man. You can read it in Genesis 3, where God pronounces judgment and he has to take them out of the Garden of Eden, which they were to look after, to till, to keep. They could no longer do that anymore, because sin has broken the covenant, the oneness. In many ways, sin broke, like in marriage, that one flesh. When you become union, you become one as man and wife together. A similar type was broken between Adam, Eve, and with God. And so we see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the one who has always been there in the Godhead, who will come and restore and bring things back again. This is why I keep saying and stressing, we are in the times of restoration, being restored, being brought back. But this time, through the second Adam. Let's turn to something familiar in the book of Exodus. The children of Israel brought out of Egypt, Babylon, under the headship of Moses. Moses was their type of God in flesh. He was a type of Christ. pointing the way to the one who was going to come. God has called out a pagan people, very little understanding of Almighty God. But because they have been chosen as a nation before the foundation of the world, something within them knew when Moses came and said, "I am," has called you. They had revelation, understanding of that, and that is why they responded and were able to be brought out of bondage. Again, you see, God identifying himself, God revealing himself. When God changes you and saves you, he reveals himself by revelation. The same today as we're listening to this teaching, God is revealing himself by revelation that illumines our minds to understand. And today he wants us to learn yet more about being faithful stewards. And we come to chapter 25, Exodus 25, chapter 25, verses 1 to 11. And here, God calls them, the children of Israel. They're now out of bondage. They're now in the desert. And God is going to make a tabernacle. And he's going to dwell with them. And he gives all the ability, all the skill, all the wisdom in which they are to build this ark of the tabernacle. And they are to help with this building. And here it is. God is showing them to be faithful stewards. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering." So notice, God will only accept when it is given with the right attitude, heart, and motive. Even there, he's teaching the children of Israel how they approach him, with what attitude. Because if they are reluctant to give away their precious jewelry or whatever, God says, "I don't want it. I don't want it." And probably neither would you want a present if somebody was reluctantly giving it to you. "I suppose I'd better give you this birthday present." You'd probably say to yourself, "Well, why bother?" It is giving out of a pure, willing, loving heart. And it goes on, "And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil from the light, and spices from the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them." See, God says, "I'm going to dwell with you, and you are going to make my home." I mean, why would Almighty God, who's created the heavens and the earth, who holds everything by the word of his power, who sits on his throne in his heaven, would ask man to make him a home? What is he teaching? He's teaching them to be faithful stewards. He says, "According to all that I show you." So they're having to learn obedience. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. "And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall it be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. And you shall overlay it and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. So listen clearly how he's defining what precious materials have to go into this, because he's teaching them that he's not going to live and dwell in any old thing, but the very best. He's teaching them to be faithful stewards. But something went wrong, because Moses went up to Sinai, God called him up there and gave him the commandments and that they were to live by and walk by. And why they were up there, you know the story. They wondered what happened to him. They thought he'd gone, left them. So they decided to turn to their own gods. And we see this in Exodus 32, chapter 32. You know the story of this very well. And here Moses comes down, sees what they've done, and they made a golden calf, revealing that they're turning back to their Canaanite practices, Baalism. But what do they make that calf out of? Gold. Revealing also they were not faithful stewards. They were wasting God's provision, not building for the kingdom. That is why God was so wroth against them. And Moses has to stand in the gap, because God is about to destroy this whole nation. And listen what he says in verse 11 of chapter 32. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth, to turn from your fierce wrath and relent from your harm to your people? Remember Abraham, Isaac, Israel, your servants, because God swore a covenant with them. And God heard Moses. God listened to him. Moses is a faithful steward. He acknowledges God in everything. And he's now supplicating, standing in the gap, if you like, and saying, well, if they're going to perish, so do I. And he's saying that you will be a laughingstock. The Egyptians will think you brought them out into the wilderness just to destroy them. What witness, what testimony does that give? You see, Moses is reminding God of his glory, his covenant, his majesty. He's acknowledging his greatness, you see. And God spares the people. He parts them, and the rebellious, they're consumed underground when the ground opens up. And the rest, God continues to work with. All the while, he's teaching to be faithful stewards. When you are a faithful steward, it's an outward sign of faith that you are faithful to God. That is why God blesses us with Abraham's blessings, in order to bless, to give. You can never outgive God. The more you give when you give by faith with the right heart and motive, which God said to the children of Israel they were to give to him to build a tabernacle, it just comes back and multiplies. That's the nature of it and how it works. The golden calf is a bad reminder of the selfishness, the inward looking of man, religious man, building his own image of God, his own kingdom. And we see that today. We see that in denominationalism. We see it in Catholicism. This is why it's called harlotry. It's a type of spiritual golden calf. Man building it and not God. You see? Wonderful how Revelation opens our ears and eyes and hearts to the parallels of all of these. How these revelations run through the scriptures, through the Bible, through every book, connecting, revealing the mighty hand of God, how he works. We know the story of Noah. Noah was called to build an ark because God is going to destroy the face of the earth. Why again? Because of its abominations and how they are unfaithful stewards. They don't retain or hold God anymore in their mind or thinking. God regretted that he created man, he said. But God saw grace and mercy on Noah, and God told him to build an ark. And it's very interesting that all that God revealed to Noah with building that ark also signified the building of the tabernacle, the ark which the high priest went into once a year behind the veil. It typifies that ark where he made it. It's not a boat like we think of a boat. It was more like a square box, like a barge. And all that was built inside and all that went in also typifies the Ark of the Covenant. There's parallels to them. As the high priest, there was only one entry into the Holies of Holies. So there was only one door into the Ark. And God closed it. God is preserving life for not only for fellowship to commune with man, but also that he will work with his hands. He will be fruitful. And God said to them, multiply. And they went in two by two. You see these parallels working right through every book, through the scriptures. And the Ark of the Covenant, finally, the doorway into that ark, the curtain was rent in two. And now entry through the flesh of the pre-incarnate Christ who gave up his flesh, his body to die. We now enter in through him. But we don't enter in through him just to sit about and have a glory time. Not at all. He gives the great commission to go out, make disciples, preach the gospel, be about the kingdom of God, be busy in the vineyard working. He gives gifts and natural gifts to the church so that we stir them up by faith as the Spirit leads. So that we are faithful stewards, No one will be able to say who's truly born again of the Spirit, God didn't give me anything to work with. He most certainly has. He has placed himself in you and I, and it's as we yield over to him, the Spirit, then he will work through us. But he won't do it independently of you. You work together. My preaching this word means I work with him. I have to do my bit as well. That's what it means. It's union. You work together in union and oneness, exactly the same in friendship, in our fellowship as believers, in marriage, and so on. Jesus gave examples of his stewardship that God had entrusted. Look what God had placed upon him. All the governments are upon his shoulder. He divested himself, as we know in Philippians 2:5, and took on human form. What for? Not just to redeem man. Yes, that's part of it. But to be a faithful steward, to faithfully each day work for God. What was his occupation? He was a carpenter. Work with his hands. Revealing a faithful steward. Jesus showed in his stewardship his humility. He washed the disciples' feet. He gave them examples. There he is, being a faithful steward. He had compassion upon the crowds, the multitudes that came. And he fed them as the Spirit led, a faithful steward. He had compassion upon those bound up by the enemy or in sickness. A faithful steward again ministering. A type of good Samaritan. Binding up the wounds. Providing for their comfort. Their healing, their restoration. We have that ability within us, brothers and sisters. It is in the Holy Spirit. It is in him. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And all he asks us to do is to yield over to him. And then he will take over. And it means when he takes over in order that we work together. You've been trying to work together with him, and that's why it fails. He takes the initiative. God first loved us. God called the disciples first. They then had to put their feet into action and follow. And that is how it works. That is how the cross works, that you take up daily and follow the Lord. The cross is in order for you to be a faithful steward, to move and walk and have your being with Christ in you, reaching out through you. If he tells you to speak, he's going to get you to work your vocal cords, and then he'll take over and anoint. The same as he's doing it now with me as I preach. The same with healing. He says, lay your hands upon the sick and they shall recover. As you actively use your hands, you speak that word against demonic forces, against sicknesses, and so on. Then the power of God goes forth. The word of God goes forth. That is revealing a faithful steward and providing, helping the poor, the needy. Not turning a blind eye or a deaf ear to needs and wants. You can never outgive God. He has all the resources. He is the means. Everything flows from him. It's just we don't believe always. This is why Jesus so often engaged with the poor. He had time for them. He couldn't do anything for those who thought they knew it all and they believed that they were good and righteous. That's why he couldn't do anything for the Pharisees, the religious people, those who should have known who Messiah was, but they didn't know. Because had they have known, they would never have crucified him. They revealed they were not good stewards. Do we know why? Because they were taking from the people. That's why. And any minister that is begging and manipulating people to give is not a faithful, good steward. I'm afraid what works through those people is that thief and that robber and that murderer, the very devil himself. But we have responsibilities. Each of us in this assembly, we have responsibilities. My responsibility is for my brothers and sisters, how I can help make their life better, blessed, and more fruitful. And whatever way I'm to minister to that, God will show. And I yield over, and as I yield, the Spirit begins to work how he wants us to bless our brother and sister, how we should stand in prayer one for another, praying the prayer of faith. There are needs in our church. There are some going through physical needs, emotional needs, some going through deliverance, and so on. We need to be sensitive and to be those faithful stewards. We're able, as a small assembly, as small as we are, we're able to give, to provide for the orphans in India. I put out this morning, some of you have seen it, a meeting I gave this morning in Pakistan. I was preaching at 7 this morning. And we were able to give a love offering so that the widows and some of the younger mothers with families and everything and so on was given food, given rice to be able to provide, to feed them. Why? Because there was a need. And God shows it. You can never outgive God. We care for God's creation. Today they've got it all wrong. They don't understand that God looks after his creation. You have to read the word of God. But he also calls us as Christians to be part of that as well. And a best part of that is in our prayers, praying that God will open the ears and eyes and hearts of governments, that they will have the fear of God, that they will begin to understand God's creation, that God made it, and that we are to look after it and not abuse it, which sadly so much goes on. And that's why they keep passing all these laws. is because we're not understanding how to pray properly for our leaders and so on. We're being given responsibility to rule. We're being taught, brothers and sisters, the responsibility of rulership. Why do I mention that? Because that's what we are destined for with Christ. We are going to rule and reign with him. What is all that about? Stewardship. The second coming of Christ, establishing his kingdom upon the earth. What is that all about? Stewardship. Restoring, educating people. To look after, to be responsible. Not to destroy, to kill, to murder, to go to war. All these things that are destructive. This is why we hate it. Because it destroys being a faithful steward. And look what they do when they bomb these areas or these countries. The carnage. And what has to be done has to be all rebuilt again. The stupidity of it. You know, it's like you say, doesn't man ever learn anything? Does he never learn from history? No, because he's blinded. Without Christ, you can do nothing. But the moment Christ comes into your life and changes your life, my life, you begin to see things on a different level because you are being imparted with the wisdom and mind of God that he put into Adam, Eve, when he created them, that they would go forth and be fruitful and multiply and look after and fill up the earth. All of that is being restored again through the second Adam, Jesus Christ himself. And this is why, as I begin to close with this, this is why the world hates us. Because it's blinded to this. It looks as though the Christian doesn't do anything. All they do is just pray. But they don't understand the power of prayer, the prayer of faith, and what is accomplished by our prayers and intercessions. And what did Jesus say in John 15, verses 18 to 25? 18 to 25 of John 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's why the world hates you. Because God says, I chose you out of the world. Not to be a part of it, but to be a part of my world, my kingdom that is coming. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. See, they rejected Christ, their Messiah, but they rejected his stewardship, his love, his caring, his message, his deliverance, turning them away from sin, rebellion. You see? And we see it today. You see it in your own life, sadly in your family. Thank God that he first called us, as we would never have a chance. And that's why giving is so important. Going that extra mile is important. Giving time one for another, overcoming. All of these things is being a faithful steward, being faithful to what God has given us, and multiply it. Multiply it 30, 60, 100 fold. You can never outgive God. As you yield over to him and don't resist him, he will work through you and he will show you how to be that faithful steward.